Let me share with you just a word that the Lord put on my heart today. Excuse me. And forgive me for my cough. It's the season.
Lesson, Lord.
In a day and time when we can all sometimes feel like we're under attack and the enemy is very busy doing that, I wanted to read this to you today to remind you of the sufficiency of our Savior. From Colossians 2:13, you were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities, and he shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Let's praise the Lord today.
Amen, amen.
Amen.
Well, now that you've comfortably sat down, stand up. We'll do it again 6 more times, and then repetitions. We'll get our morning exercises. How about that?
Squat.
Psalms 113, verses 2 through 4 says, "Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord is high above all nations, and his glory is above all the heavens." Isn't that right?
Amen. Yes.
Blessed
Amen.
Be the name of the Lord.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, from the streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name.
Blessed be your name.
Name of the Lord. Blessed be your glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. The king of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, he is my song. 'Cause you are good, good.
I think it really paints a picture of what Jesus has done for each and every one of us. So let's go ahead and sing the first verse and the chorus again. And this time, really think about what these words are saying and just the awe of what Christ has done for us.
Let the king of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, he is my song. 'Cause you are good, you're good. Oh, you are good, you're good. Oh, you are good, you're good. Good. Oh,
the king of my heart, be the wind inside my sail, the anchor in the waves, oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days, oh, he is my song. 'Cause you are good, you're good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh, you are good, you're good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You are good, you're good. Oh, you are good, you're good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh, you're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down.
Jesus, we do thank you for your love. Thank you for meeting us here right now. Thank you, Jesus. Your name, beautiful name.
Beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is, what a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is,
What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. Death could not hold you, the veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. Heavens are roaring the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Jesus, 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 Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Powerful name. The gates of hell cannot stand against the name of Jesus. The demons cannot stand against the name of Jesus. But can your problems stand against the name of Jesus? No. Our problems cannot stand against the name of Jesus. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the bright and morning star, fairest of 10,000. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your love. Thank you for your sacrifice. We worship you this day in your name. Amen.
See, George, if put the announcements up. Actually, I don't. You can give it to Sophia. Can we have announcements, George? You're working on it.
Love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength.
Well, if we have to, we'll do it from memory. I'll start with the couple that aren't on there. First, you've probably noticed that Pastor Darren and Lisa are not here today. they someone gifted them a weekend at a condo in Orlando, one of those resort kind of arrangements. And so they are taking a well-deserved weekend off. Pastor confided in me, and I'm going to spill the beans, that you can't hear me. George, you got me as much as you can, or do I need to just... Okay. I'll try to speak a little louder. Okay. If I get too soft, raise your hand and point up or something. And at any rate, Pastor, no, cut it out there. That was for everybody. That was for everybody but you and Ray. Anyway, no, Pastor admitted this was the first time in at least 15 years that the two of them had been away just by themselves. And so I took the opportunity as an old married guy to rebuke him on that. And Mary Kay can claim, can admit that I do that out of guilt. Okay. The other is Heidi and Joel took off for Costa Rica. And I haven't heard from them since they're down there, but I believe they arrived safely. And so we should all keep them in prayer for the next week or so. Let's see. Okay. George did have this. Good. See my on. Yeah, I got to get it green. Okay, there we go. You all know we do prayer on Sunday mornings, sometimes in the portable, sometimes on the porch. Wednesday is Transformers. That's good. Anything special you want to announce, Josh? Just be there, be square. Okay. Women are not this week because the men are this week. What is happening here? Oh, that wasn't what I expected. Yes, on this Tuesday it's the men. And here we go. And Ray is doing dinner for us. Ray, you want to announce what the dinner is, or is it just good guy food? It's top. Okay. So if you want to know the answer, show up at 6 o'clock on Tuesday. The studies in Ephesians, and I tell you what, because I've been blessed to be involved with it for both the ladies and the men. Ephesians really speaks to. Hang on just a second, Chantal. Ephesians really speaks to what's going on in our world today. Ephesus was very much like modern day United States. Yeah, Chantal. Okay.
We'll be here and they're online right now. So if anybody wants to go, they need to listen to Joy FM.
Okay, so they're online on Joy FM and you can buy tickets. It's Mercy Me May 5th.
Yes.
And they're $25 each. Okay, cool. Okay, let's see. We're going to skip a lot of this. In fact, you know what? Let's just go to the message. And that, George, if you'd cue up the PowerPoint for us. Join me in prayer, if you would, please. Father God, we thank you for the chance to, the opportunity, not a chance. We do nothing by chance, Lord, because your hand guides us. But the opportunity to come together as your children and worship you and study your word, Lord. We thank you for the time of worship, and now we ask that you'd open our minds and our hearts in the time of study. And Father, I personally ask that you would take this message beyond my PowerPoint and beyond my notes, beyond even the scriptures that you gave me in preparation, Lord. But take it to the point where it touches people's hearts and changes their lives, Lord. Use it that your name may be glorified and your children would be blessed. And I thank you in advance. In the name of our blessed Savior, Jesus. Amen. Let me ask a question. How many here are born-again believers? Right? What does it mean to be... By the way, anyone that didn't raise their hand, I want to talk to you after service. I want to talk to you after service because I've got some very good news for you. But you'll want to listen in that because, in that, I'm sorry? Nonstop. Well, we can talk about that afterwards, Dave. But what does it mean to be a born again believer? Throw them out there. Come on, you guys know the answer to these. Turn yourself over to the Lord. Okay, forgiveness of sins. The old is dead. Okay, Dave's taking a conversation we had yesterday. Well, there's a couple of things that I think are key, part of born again, right? You know, we all get forgiveness of sins, right? In that, but the other part is that, and it tells us in 2 Corinthians 5, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Right? In John 3, this is a passage where Nicodemus comes to Jesus, right, and says, well, how is it that a man can be born again? He can't re-enter into his mother's womb, right? Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. So we are no longer physical beings. We are spiritual beings. We are born again as a spiritual being. Today we're going to talk about how we live that way. The passage that I've chosen for today is Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Does everybody have a Bible? Anybody need a Bible? If you need a Bible, raise your hand, and I'm sure we can get one of the young men up there to... Dave, you need one back there? Elijah, would you get one back to Dave? Okay, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Just two verses in that, but there's tremendous depth there in that. And I'm glad that the Lord gave me this passage to talk about this morning. Sometimes he gives me a passage like the time he says, oh yeah, I want you to do a tithing message. And it's like, oh great, Lord, I don't want to do that. This one, I'm happy to do it. In that, if I were to claim a life verse, I think this probably would be it. And the reason is, well, let me take a side trip so I can explain why it's important. And that about 9 years ago, I got involved with a ministry praying for healing, primarily emotional healing, but also physical healing. And boy, I saw the Lord do amazing things for people. Amazing things form in that, but I also saw that people were hurting, and they didn't always get the healing that I think the Lord had for them, and it hurt to watch that. And I asked the Lord, and I don't know whether it was the brightest prayer I ever made or one of the most foolish prayers I ever made, that He would help me to see them and feel what they feel the same about them the same way that He did. And He answered that. But frankly, I say, many people were hurting. Right? They were dealing with financial issues. They were dealing with relationship issues with parents, children, their spouse. They were dealing with sickness, sometimes, quote, incurable sickness. They were dealing with memories, horrible things that happened to them. They'd been abused physically, emotionally, sexually, in that. I saw the Lord, again, do some amazing things. Now, I'm not going to tell you I'm not going to sit up here and tell you that, you know, I can pray for you if you have stage 4 cancer, that we can pray for you if you have stage 4 cancer and there's a guarantee that you're going to be healed. I've seen the Lord do that in that, but he may not. And what I can tell you, though, is that he can give us in the Spirit a peace to deal with whatever we have to deal with as human beings. And now, those of us who are older, my stage of life, you've gone through a lot of this. You teens, you probably haven't seen as much of this yet. You will. You will. There will come time when money will be a pressing issue. Your relationship, you know, maybe right now you think your relationship with your parents are bad. You know, that may be true. And that you will face, in this world, you will have trouble. And that, but the Lord can guide us so that it's not such an issue for us. Now let's look at the verse itself, right? The verse starts with therefore, right? Anytime something starts with therefore, it's saying because of what has gone before, right? And we're not going to take the time to read the verses in the tail end verses in chapter 11. But the tail verses in chapter 11, right, talk about how great God is, about his mercy, about his glory, about his salvation, right? So Paul is basing this on God's mercy, God's grace to all of us. He goes on, I urge you, brothers and sisters. This isn't a command. We don't have to do this, but we are urged to do it. It is a good suggestion for us to do this. And I think you'll see why as we get deeper into it. Right? It's for brothers and sisters. This is for believers, those of us who call ourselves born-again Christians. Okay. The next part is terribly important. In view of God's mercy. Right? In view. Well, that means I can see it. Nathan is in my view. Andy is in my view. I can see them. Right? God's mercy. Right? Well, what is God's mercy? God's mercy is not only salvation, right? But it's that he's made us a spirit, and he's given us a spiritual birth. So that is in view. This whole passage here is in view of keeping those things in our mind. And we'll get back to that later on. Then it goes on to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Wow. Not sure I like that. Sacrifices kind of get burnt up on an altar. They're usually dead. It's kind of scary stuff. Right? Interesting. The offer, it means that we have to voluntarily offer ourselves. You know, the sacrificial lamb didn't get to choose whether it was on the altar or not. Right? We do. We can choose whether we're going to be an offering or not. It's our choice. Interesting, the Greek word for bodies here, right, is soma. And that means not just our physical bodies, right, but it also includes our physical and emotional selves as well. Right? So that's a sacrifice we're supposed to bring, right? Our physical, emotional, mental selves. All of us, not just physical. Now, I don't know about you guys. The thought of making my body an offering, a little scary, and I'm not sure I like the idea. Well, what does 1 Corinthians tell us? Okay. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. I'm sorry, take the microphone and run it again.
I have trouble with the word but.
Tell me what you mean by that, Andy. I'm not, which but are we talking about?
Bought.
I'm sorry, I thought you said but, B-U-T.
You were bought at a price.
Okay.
That to me means I bought something or yes. Someone else bought.
Yes, it means exactly that. Andy, it means exactly that. And think about it, right? When Jesus made the sacrifice on the cross. Right? He traded his death, right, to purchase our salvation, our restoration to the Lord.
Okay.
And the thought, and I think I know where you're going, right? It's like, well, I don't want to think that somebody bought me and I belong to them, right? Is that okay? And that, well, think about it, though, right? If we say we're born again, right? I say that Jesus is my Lord and Master, right? That makes me his slave or servant, right? And so he has the right to say, this is what you should do. This is what, you know, right? The slave is supposed to look to the master and anticipate the master's desire. Does he want water? Does he want another log on the fire? Does he want me to go do this, do that, whatever? Right? We truly are bought with a price, in that our bodies are not our own any longer.
Okay.
Does that? Scott, somebody, surfer girl, give him the microphone, please. I can't help it. She knows I'm teasing her.
The way I read that is that we were slaves, but we're not slaves to the Lord. We were slaves to sin.
Okay.
We were enslaved by sin, and so the Lord stepped in and paid that price so that I could experience freedom.
Okay. Actually, you know what, Scott? That's a better answer. That's an even better answer, Scott. Thank you for writing that.
Hey, Gary.
Interestingly enough, let me make one more point on this. The word body here in 1 Corinthians, that's the same soma that's in Romans. Yes, Mark.
You know, when Jesus came down, he took on the form of a bondservant. And a bondservant is different from a slave.
Mm-hmm.
A slave still has their own will. A bondservant gives up their will to the will of another. What we do. We give up our own personal will to our Lord and Savior.
Mm-hmm.
He is Lord of our lives, and we give up our will to submit to his will.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a voluntary thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, which is what we get to. Now, back to Romans, right? It talks to us as a living sacrifice. Now, that strikes me as a contradiction in terms, right? Because an Old Testament sacrifice, right? They take the lamb or the goat, slit its throat, drain its blood, and then put it on the altar. What is a living sacrifice, right? Yeah, well, there was also, and I'll get to that in a second, it's also sacrifices were to be without blemish. I don't know about you, right? I don't look at myself as being without blemish, right? And so, well, maybe that's an escape hatch. I don't qualify as one of these living sacrifices because I'm not blemish-free, right? Because the Old Testament tells us if an animal has a defect, is lame or blind, has any serious flaw, you must not sacrifice it to the Lord your God, right? I'm not perfect yet. The Lord's still working on me, right? Do I qualify? Remember that phrase, in view of his mercies, right? In view of God's mercies, that's what Andy and I were talking about a minute ago. He sees me in white robes. He sees me in Christ's righteousness. He sees me as a holy, worthy sacrifice in Christ. Not in Gary, in Christ. In view of his mercy, I'm a perfect perfectly qualified sacrifice. It's fascinating to me that in the Old Testament and other religions, they do sacrifices to get gain God's blessing. In the New Testament, right, Jesus on the cross, right, what did he say? Tetelestai, it is finished. Right, he made the one sacrifice for all. Right, so we do sacrifices not to obtain God's blessing, but we sacrifice because of God's blessing. That's vitally different. Anybody says that all religions of the world are all the same? Baloney. They're not. Now, you ask yourself, well, how can a sacrifice be living, right? Isn't a sacrifice dead? Right? Sacrifice is consumed on the altar by fire. Okay? And that, well, the answer is that we're both dead and alive at the same time. Right? We're to be dead to the world, dead to sin, you know, what Scott was and Mark were talking about a minute ago, right? But we're to be alive in the Holy Spirit, right? Galatians, I have been crucified with Christ, my physical body is dead, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ living in me, the Spirit living in me. So we're both dead and alive at the same time. We don't add faith to a worldly life. We don't add our Christianity to a worldly life. And it's tempting. I think when I was a fairly young believer, that's what I wanted to do. It's like, okay, well, you know, I'll live in the world Monday through Saturday and sprinkle in a little Christianity on Sunday and try to be a little better person during the week. That's not the way it works. We're a new creation. We're a spiritual being. Our old flesh is supposed to be dead. Right? Understanding this is critical. Now, there's one other catch in that. A dead sacrifice doesn't get off the altar. A living sacrifice might just try it. At least this living sacrifice would try it. And that's why I think Jesus said, right, if anyone will come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. It's a daily decision. This is a daily decision, whether we make ourselves a living sacrifice or not. Now, Romans goes on. Okay? Sacrifice is holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Okay? True and proper worship, the Greek is logikos latria, which means the logical, rational worship. Logikos, that translates in modern terms into logical. It's rational. It's reasonable in view of God's mercy that we be a sacrifice. This isn't an unreasonable request. God isn't asking us to do something that's not reasonable and can't be done. This is a reasonable request, right? And it is our proper worship. You know, we often wonder how we worship. You know, we worship at the beginning of service, but that's only one way we worship, right? When we give our bodies as a living sacrifice and renew our minds, which we'll get into in verse 2, that's an act of worship. And that can be an act of worship whether you're by yourself, whether you're at work, you know, whether you're sitting around watching TV. Right? You don't have to have music, you know, and some Christian singer in your ear. I like the Good News Bible translation on this. It's dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. This is the true worship that you should offer. Now, verse 1 is all about sacrifice. But verse 2 is about renewal. All right. Now, verse 2 begins, do not conform to the pattern of this world. I was looking for a definition, and this isn't particularly theological in that, but it's pretty accurate. I got a kick out of the cartoon. Right? Conform, to come to have the same form or character, to act or be in accord or in agreement, to comply. Right. That's what it means, conform to the pattern of this world. Now, the Greek for this world is aeon, right, which translates into age or period of time. Right. And it's not talking about just our workplace. It's not talking about just Facebook. It's not even talking about Bradenton or this globe that we're on. It's not that world. It's our existence in this physical body. Right? It's telling us that we should not be conformed to the existence that we're experiencing right now in our flesh. That's a very deep thought if you think about it. Right? And how often do we spend our lives consumed by our flesh. Now, what does it mean to be conformed? Well, you know, I see, and these are just some ways that I think we're conformed to the world, right? You know, well, what kind of work do you do, right? You know, who do you identify with? Are you a Republican or Democrat? You know, are you a blue-collar worker or a white-collar worker? Are you retired? You know, who do you identify with? Where do you live? Right? You know, what part of town do you live in? We're conformed by the way we look and what we wear, right? You young people, when you get to be 60 or so, look back at the clothes you wore through your life. And I guarantee you, you will be absolutely convinced that you've been conformed to the world. I look at some of the things I wore, and some of them, thankfully, to my wife here, who clothed me most of the time, and I look at it, and I was being conformed to the world, right? In my high school, yeah, no, I never had a leisure suit, Daryl, thankfully. But in high school, you know, you were either a greaser or a mod, and you dressed accordingly, and that you needed to conform, right? And I know, I understand, you know, when you're a teenager, you want to conform, you want to fit in. I get it, and that it's natural for all of us to want to conform. And that, but conforming to the world is dangerous, and we're going to get into it. What we watch and what we listen to, right? You know, what news stations do you listen to? You know, Friday morning, a friend of mine happens to be from Canada. He goes, "Oh, you know, I watch all the Lightning games." He's into hockey. He's conformed to a hockey fan, right? You know, what do we listen to? Do we listen to Joy FM, or do we listen to Moody, or do we listen to the country and western station? And that, what do we listen to? That all conforms us. Oh, we eat. Man. Oh, I'm a vegetarian. Oh, okay. You know, you fit in that. And I guess there's different flavors of vegetarianism in that, right? I guess flavors may have been a bad word to use for. We won't go there. And that, I mean, you all know me, right? I love a good barbecue, right? I'm a car guy, right? That's where I conform. There's dangers in this, right? Right now, but when we're conformed to the world, right, it's dangerous, right? You know, I find myself, well, you know, somebody on Facebook, they just had a trip to, you know, took a Disney cruise, and that, oh, I want a Disney cruise. Oh, greed's coming up in me, right? Envy's coming up in me, right? You know, well, how many Facebook friends do I have? You know, are my friends still my friends? Oh, now I'm all about myself, right? Selfishness is coming up in me, right? I'm afraid I'm going to lose what I have. Fear comes up, right? Depression, anger, because, well, why do they have it and I don't? I work just as hard as that person. You know, it's not right. It's either my boss's fault, or it could be God's fault that I don't have these things. This isn't right. I'm angry about this. Right? Immoral conduct. Goodness, you know, how many people, you know, as well as Friday happy hour, let's go out and have a few. Eh, no big deal. Come on, it's just a couple of drinks. No big deal. Yeah, what does it lead to? Lying. Convincing people that you're different than you are. Right? Your emotions, right? Oh, goodness. One of the things that scares me most about the world that we're living in today is that we're all ruled by our emotions. And yet, what does the scripture tell us? The heart is deceitful among all things. Who can know it? Right? Trust my emotions? You've got to be kidding me. That's the dumbest thing I can do. And yet, when I'm conformed to the world is telling me, well, if you feel like a turnip today, I guess you're a turnip. Doesn't make any sense, but that's what we know. Now, you know, you go, well, okay, wait, you know. Right, you look at it, right, and, you know, Scripture tells us, right, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Right. The truth is the world is passing away. 100 years from now, this building won't be here, and none of us will either. That's just the simple truth of it. Now, think about that. You go, well, wait a second. You know, who wants to conform me to the world? Right? Maybe this is something I'm doing my own. Well, Ephesians tells us, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world, and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All right, who wants to conform us to this world? Satan does. Satan wants to conform us to this world. And if that doesn't scare you, yeah, it should. Thank you. I wasn't sure of the proper phrase, but that's it. It should. All right. So now let me ask a question. Right? If this is all the case, right? Do you want to be born again? You want to put your body, this worldly body, as a living sacrifice, and start being transformed into a spiritual being. Right? Now, something that occurred to me, I got to this point. Right, it's like, well, wait a second, you know. Is conformity by itself bad? Couldn't I be conformed to something that's good? And the answer is yes. Right? The verse tells us, do not be conformed to the world. It doesn't say don't be conformed. Don't be conformed to the world. Right? What should we be conformed to? Well, Romans 8 tells us we should be conformed to the image of his son, Jesus. That's what we should be conformed to. Now we get into transform. Be ye transformed. Right? Well, is it possible for me to be transformed? Right? Well, let's, before we get into that, let's see there. No. We're going to go. George, we're going to skip the video. Transformed, and I think many of you probably already know this. The Greek for that is metamorpho, right, which means transfigure. It's the exact same Greek word that's used when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, right, which I find fascinating, right, because that passage, Jesus, right, suddenly starts to, he glows. Right, he's radiant, right? And so we're being told that we should be transformed. The same thing that happened to Jesus. I think that's telling us that God's light should be shining in our lives such that others can see it. And right, I mean, we're told be prepared to give the reason for the hope that's in you. Well, why would somebody ask me for the reason for the hope that's in me unless they can see that there's something different in my life, right? But, you know, it's like, well, wait a second. You know, I'm pretty imperfect. I mean, we've already covered that, and you guys who know me, you know that's true, right? I mean, can God really do that? Right? Well, 2 Corinthians tells us, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, right, there we go, in view of God's glory again, God's mercy, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Keys there are being transformed. Not may be transformed, wish they could be transformed, might be transformed, maybe some point in the future will be transformed, are being transformed. Present tense, a promise of God. He does not lie, he does not fail on his promises. We are being transformed. The other is we're being transformed into his image. The image of Christ, right?
And that means it's a process. It doesn't just...
Yes, it's an ongoing...
It doesn't automatically happen.
It's an ongoing process. Right? Now, the other thing, too, is which comes from the Lord. Right? This doesn't happen
because Gary says, "Oh, well, I want to be transformed." Here, you know, it doesn't work that way. It's the Lord's work, the Lord's power that does it, right? I think of those the transformer things that the young people play with, right? Those things can't by themselves change from one thing to another. They need the person's hands to change them. Well, we're like that transformer. We need the Lord's hands to change us. All right. Finally, who is spirit? This is a spiritual change. This is a spiritual change. It's not just a physical change. Back to Romans, right? By the renewing of your mind. All right. How does this transformation happen? By the renewing of your mind. All right. How often have we heard Pastor Darren say the battleground, the place of that our mind is the battleground? That's where the battle takes place, in our heads. In our heads. So, if we want a renewed mind, right, that's what we're supposed to have, a renewed mind. Well, what is a renewed mind? Right? Well, a reasonable question, isn't it? Well, it's one that thinks like the mind of Christ. Right? If we're supposed to be conformed into the image of Christ, a renewed mind would have the mind of Christ. It would only allow thoughts that agree with the Word of God. Right? It would be led by the Holy Spirit. Back to Romans. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. I find this part, this section, this phrase, absolutely fascinating. Right? The Greek for prove is dokimazo, which means to literally test. This is saying, right, that if I allow the Lord to renew my mind, I will be able to test God's will for my life. Right now, my first thought when I heard that was, well, wait a second. When the devil tempted Jesus, right, he says, oh, no, do not test the Lord your God. You know, well, there are a couple places in Scripture where the Lord says, you can test me. One of them is in Malachi, talking about the tithe. Then these things, test me in these things. Right? Evidently here, in this particular case, we're allowed to test God. Right? Now, I think I can say with certainty, God's going to pass the test. Very much question, you know, you don't really need a red pencil to grade this test. And I can tell you how it turns out. And that, but it's fascinating, right? Goes on, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. One of the most common questions I think that believers ask is, well, what is God's will for my life? Right? And is his will for my life good? Right? I think back, you know, when I was a young person, you know, a young believer, right? Like, well, I'm not too sure. I like his will for my life might be to send me to some place I don't want to go to where there's pygmies that are going to chop off my head. Right? Well, I'm making a bad example here. The truth is, though, is it tells us here his good, pleasing, and perfect will. That's what Romans said. Right? I know the plans I have for you, the plans good and not for evil. And his plans, his will for us is good. Right? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Right? That means that his will is that our lives would be like it is in heaven. I think I can go for that. Count me down on that one, right? We will, but because we are renewing our mind, I'll get there. Because we're renewing our mind, we experience God's will for our life. That's one reason why I think it's so wonderful that so many people are doing experiencing God this time. Yeah, hand the mic over. May need to turn it on.
You're talking about what does it look like, mm-hmm. but how do people do that?
We'll get there.
Okay, you're going to go there.
Oh,
okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I know how to do it, but
okay,
you know, but.
But then you can join me when we get there. Okay.
Yeah, but I just wanted for the newer people that you mm-hmm. know. How do we get there?
Yeah, this has to be practical. I don't want this to be head knowledge. I want people to take this home and be able to do something with it. In fact, that's a perfect lead-in, Madeline, right? Because we look and we go, okay, well, what does it mean to have a transformed mind? What does a transformed mind look like? Right? It looks like the mind of Jesus. All right, now this is the heart. Again, this is the heart, as Natalie says. You know, if we used to call it a takeaway, right? And that when I was in the business world, and that they'd say, well, who has the check on his forehead? Who had a responsibility here? Well, you've got a responsibility here. And that, how do you do? If I've come to the point that I want a transformed mind, I want to be renewed, right? I want to offer myself as a living sacrifice. How do I practically really do that in my life? We're going to cover that. Right now, the mind of Christ. Let's see what the goal is. What's the target? The target is the mind of Christ. Right. And if you look at the mind of Christ, there are certain things that characterized Christ's ministry. Right. He had a desire to bring glory to God, right? In John 17, right, it says, and this is the time when he's facing the cross, right? Jesus says, and now, Father, and he says this in prayer, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. When you're facing troubles, can you ask the Lord, or have you asked the Lord, how can these troubles bring glory to you? How can you make glory out of this situation that I'm facing today? Yes. Yes, thank you, Mary. So true. Mm-hmm. You have to listen. You have to. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely true. Absolutely true. Now, Jesus also wanted to provide salvation for sinners. Right? Luke 19, it says, for the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. Right? Can my situation, my response to a situation, be a witness to others?
Absolutely.
Well, it depends on how I respond. Depends on how I respond. The mind of Christ. If I respond with the mind of Christ, yeah, it can be a witness to others. If I respond with the fleshly mind, I'm going to look like every other lost soul who's trying to figure out what to do, you know, because his car got repossessed and now he has to take the bus to go to work.
You're either going to be a good witness or a bad witness.
Yeah, you're going to be a witness. The question is good or bad. Yes. Thank you, Natalie. All right. Jesus had a perspective on humility and obedience. Right. Jesus, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Right. When he was facing the cross, not my will, but thy will be done. I get in trouble, my prayer, okay, Lord, here's how I figured out how you can solve my problem. Take care of it for me. Well, whose will is that? My will. Right. You know, am I praying, Lord, I don't know what the right answer is to this situation? And that's true whether it be a health crisis, a medical, I'm fighting with my wife, I'm not. No matter what the problem is, in that, you know, it's like, okay, Lord, whatever your will for this situation, that be done. Right? Jesus had a compassionate heart. Right? Goodness, he showed compassion wherever he went. Right? When I see other people in trouble, do I feel for their pain? Right. If we're one body, right, and I said this a couple of months ago, if the right arm hurts, the left arm has to pay attention. Right? We're one body. But there's something selfish in this too, right? Because when I see other people's problems and have compassion for them, it tends to put my problems in perspective. Right, because it seems like even, and I've not faced my own death yet, thankfully, and that. But there's other people that have other issues as well. You know, you look at loss of a child unexpectedly. I mean, all kinds of stuff in this world. You know, you look at the world around us, and that when you have compassion for somebody else, it tends to put your problems into more perspective. Finally, Jesus had a prayerful dependence on God. Right? Luke tells us Jesus often went to lonely places and prayed. Right? There's no problem that's too big for the Lord. Right? If he can take a fallen world and solve that in a way that's unimaginable by sacrificing his son, I defy you to come up with a problem, a situation that he is not capable of handling. You know, if you want to bring one up afterwards, we can talk about it, but I defy you to come up with something that the Lord won't be able to handle. So the question that I ask is, am I facing my problem with the mind of Christ? The truth is I want to think with my spirit, not my flesh. Right? I want to see what Jesus sees. I want to feel what Jesus feels. I want to think what Jesus thinks. I heard a pastor recently saying, I think it's true, right? And that, what's the old comment that, opinions are like noses. Everybody has one.
And they all smell.
Ooh, thank you. Very good. Very good. I love it. All right, well, now that wasn't what the pastor said about it, though. He said, the truth is I really don't want my opinion anymore. What I want is Jesus' opinion. I want to know what he thinks about it. I don't want to know what I think about it. Because when I see a problem, well, maybe I can't come up with a way to solve it. Maybe I don't know the solution. Maybe I don't know. And yet, all things work together for good for those who love him. I mean, I got to admit, sometimes I hear situations and you look and you go, what a mess this is. I mean, I cannot see how this can be used for good. Lord, I'm dying to see how you're going to use this for good. What good you're going to bring out of this situation, because it is just an awful mess. You said, we as people, we can create some really ugly messes.
Sure can.
Yeah. We've seen it, right? Yes. Thanks, Sophia.
I totally agree with everything you've been saying, but mm-hmm. I just wanted to add one little thing. Mm-hmm. That sometimes God does put the answers in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
He gives us the answers,
yes.
And we're still busy waiting. And we're not paying attention.
Yes.
So we have to pay attention. Mm-hmm. When we ask for things,
mm-hmm.
He's going to give it to us, but we have to pay attention.
Yes.
We may miss it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you're confirming what I was saying with the mind of Christ for prayer, right? Because prayer isn't just telling God, I've got this problem. It's listening for what his solution is, right? Isn't that okay? That's Kai?
It kind of reminds me of there's a story that sometimes that Pastor Darren says, and sometimes where the guy was asking for rescue in the flood,
mm-hmm.
and a boat came by, yeah, and a sure. helicopter came
mm-hmm.
by,
yeah.
and stuff like that, and I was just thinking that was actually God giving him the answer. He just wasn't mm-hmm. willing to accept it.
Well, and I'm guilty. I mean, I'm a type A personality, right? I am, and that, give me a problem and I want to find a way to fix it, and that. And if I'm so busy looking for God to do my answer, I could miss that boat. I miss it. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Thank you.
You have to change that type, baby.
I'm trying. I'm trying, Andy. Okay, so how do I get a transformed mind? Can I really do it?
But I don't get it.
I'm sorry. Oh, Marion.
No, I said.
Yeah. Oh, amen. Thank you. You pointed out the flaw that I noticed last night. Because the truth is that I really can't do it. I cannot do it. Because if I try to do it, I'm trying to do it in my dead flesh. Well, dead flesh can't be a renewed spirit. That's not possible. Right? Right? But we can, with Christ, do it, right? We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedience to Christ. Right? But notice up above, on the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Not my power. It's divine power. Right? Back in the verse, in view of God's mercy. We're back to that yet again.
First Corinthians 2 and 14, it says, but the natural man, our fleshly man, cannot accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no man. For who can know the mind of the Lord, that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. When the Holy Spirit comes into us, he tells us all things. Things from the Father and things from the Son. He does not speak of himself, only that which he hears from the Father and from the Son. So we do have his mind, but it is his transformation, not ours.
Okay, we're going to do... There's a couple step process. So what should I do to have a mind that's like Jesus? Step one, don't be conformed to the world. Right? Isn't that what verse one told us? Don't be conformed to the world. Right? How do you know when you're being conformed to this world? Well, take a look at your social media, your emotions, your possessions, your hobbies, your concerns. Okay. Most importantly, ask the Lord. Go in prayer. Ask him how you're being conformed to the world. What in my life is conforming me to this world? Step two, renew your mind. Isn't that what Romans told us? All right. How do you renew your mind? Right. Well, there's a reason that we emphasize spending time in the Word on a daily, frequent basis. Right. And that, I mean, the more time we spend in the Word, the more it gets part of our mind, so that when we face these problems in our life, the Holy Spirit can pull something out of our memory bank. Oh, wait a second. It may have been something that we studied 2 days ago, 2 weeks ago, or 2 years ago, 20 years ago. And we need to have as much of the Word stuffed into us as possible. We need to spend time in the Word, right? And when we're facing a problem, well, use a concordance. Use a search function, you know, on your online Bible. See what Scripture says about it. You know, look for passages in the Bible where characters are facing a problem similar to yours. Because, you know, one thing that, you know, I think when we're facing a problem, we think that we're the only one to ever face this problem. I got news for you. I don't think we've created any new problems in this generation. And that they've all happened before. And there's a reason. You know, they say the Bible is fairly unique among holy books in that it points out the flaws of a David. Right? Well, yeah, because if you have, you know, if you fathered an illegitimate child, well, you can go to that passage and see what David did to try to make it right or what he did to make it wrong. Right? We can go see what others did. We can use the Word. Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, we need to know what God's Word put in. Right? We need to spend time in prayer. Again, prayer. You know, prayer is not us just giving God our laundry list. Right? It's listening. Right? It's taking a problem to Him and saying, "Okay, Lord, you know, what do we do with this? Am I doing something that's making the problem worse? And that how would you have me relate to this problem?" And finally, we would make ourselves a living sacrifice. We would put our flesh away in that and live spiritually, right? Which leads me to, what does a living sacrifice really look like? Well, one way to make yourself a living sacrifice is to start your day by saying, Lord, here it is. What would you have me do with it? Right. Well, it may be, what can I do for others? It may be, you know, what can I do for you? Well, how would you have me use my day? You know, and I got in the habit a number of years ago, you know, saying, Lord, you know, help me be a good steward of this day. You've given me so many, you know, you've given it to me so many hours, so much energy, and that you've given me breath. What would you have? How would I, you know, use this wisely? How would I be a good steward of what you've given me? So I guess the question is, are you willing to ask the Lord to help you transform your life? And as Mark said, it's what they call an ongoing imperative, right? Which means it's important and it keeps going on. It doesn't stop. I can't say, Lord, it's Sunday, here I am, I'm motivated. Great, great sermon today. I want to be a living sacrifice. And it count on Wednesday. Tomorrow, I need to do it all over again. And Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and however many more days the Lord gives me on this earth. Paul started by saying, you know, I beseech you. And at least in some translations, that's the way they have it, right? Which is, he's begging you. He's saying, in view of God's mercies, right, those of us who are born again, the brothers and sisters, we're spirits. Give up this fleshly existence. Give it up. Make that a sacrifice and become spiritual beings. Let me renew your mind. Let me show you what my good and perfect will for your life is. And that is a holy and pleasing sacrifice to me. I don't know about you guys. That's some serious stuff in these passages. It can change the way we live. And that's really all I can say about it. Please join me in prayer. Father God, help us, Lord. Help us to recognize if we're still hanging on to the rotting flesh of this world, Lord, our old bodies that are dying, Lord, they're fading away. Lord, help us to recognize what that is. Help us to turn so that you may truly renew our mind and transform us, Lord. Let us be like the butterfly that comes from the caterpillar, Lord. Let us go from grubbing around on the earth, our nose to the ground, soaring as spirits, Lord, in your heavenly places. Thank you, Lord, for using this time, Lord. Thank you for the help from everybody to explain things well, Lord, so that we might all learn from it. Guide our steps. In the name of our blessed Savior, Jesus, who bought us in his mercy, a renewed mind. Amen. Thanks, guys. Have a good week. Guys, we'll see you on Tuesday night.